Will you pray with me? O Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, you have the power to break the darkness of this world, the darkness of sin, the darkness of Satan, the darkness of death. You bring light and life to all who trust in you. Open our eyes that we may see you and know you and recognize that you are our Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. I came across a quote from Leonardo da Vinci, who says there are three classes of people. The first type are those who see. The second are those who see when they are shown. And the third are those who do not see. Three classes of people. Some see once they have been shown to see, and others simply do not see. As we go back through our gospel lesson today, I want you to kind of think in your minds, who are the people in the story who see? And at the heart of the story is of course, Jesus. And there are some who see and are amazed by him. There are some who are woken up by his powers, his authority. But there are still some that refuse to see. As we look at our text today from Mark chapter 1, this is the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark starts with the baptism of John in the Jordan. He baptizes Jesus, and Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness. Last Sunday, he began his preaching ministry, and he called Simon and Andrew and James and John to follow him. And that's where we are right here, right? And now Jesus and his disciples, they went to Capernaum. And so where is Capernaum in the whole scheme of Israel? If you look at that, Capernaum is right off the Sea of Galilee. Right after this passage, next week we're going to look at Peter's mother who was sick being healed. And so Jesus, this could have been Andrew and Simon Peter's hometown. And so Jesus is going to Capernaum. And if you look kind of overall, this is way up north in Galilee. Jerusalem and it's all the way down south. And so Jesus is up kind of even north of Nazareth. But he is beginning his ministry in the country, in the part of Israel that he grew up in Galilee. And so Jesus is beginning to go and do the work that God has given him to do. And where does Jesus go? He begins not just going out in the world, but he goes to the synagogues, and he began to teach. I think about Jesus in his ministry, and he had a ministry of proclaiming the good news that God's kingdom is at hand. And part of Jesus, he wants to teach us who God is and how much God cares. And so Jesus teaches, and thank God that we have the Gospels that record the parables and the stories that he teaches, that we might see the very heart of God. The thing is, when Jesus taught, people were amazed. They were amazed that is teaching, because Jesus taught as one with authority, not as the teachers of the law. And as I was thinking about this authority that Jesus displays, how many of you remember back in maybe high school or college English class, or you just kind of try to block that out? I don't know. And you know, you read a book and then you discuss it, right? And you kind of sometimes you're awarded by having all these creative, well, I think the author meant this, or I think that this scene means this. And you talk about your interpretation of what you think the author was really writing about when they told the story that they told. Because so often in really good books, there's stories within stories. And, you know, the thing is, when you sit in the class, you can all have your own ideas, and you can say, well, I think he meant this, or this is what I think. And in the days of the Pharisees, in the days of Jesus, lot of the teachers of the law, they were doing that. They were taking the word of God and they were interpreting it the best that they could. Sometimes they were interpreting traditions, what other Pharisees, what other scribes had written. Well, imagine in a classroom, if you were trying to interpret a book, what if you brought the author in? And the author was able to explain, well, this is what I meant when I was telling this. This is why I told the story in this way. They would teach with an authority because they were the one who wrote it. They were the ones who knew what was going on in their head and their heart when they wrote that account. And so the same thing with Jesus. When Jesus was speaking, when Jesus was teaching, he was speaking with the authority as the one through whom all things were made. He is, as John describes, the Word of God. And so Jesus didn't have to say, well, Gimel teaches this, or the Bible may mean this. He taught the Word of God as God through whom it was written. And it amazed the people as they heard God's word taught to them with authority. But not only did he teach with authority, we're told that right there in the church, in the synagogue, there was a man with an impure spirit. This whole notion of impure is not called evil, but this unholy spirit. You know, today we've been singing, holy, holy, holy. We're worshiping the God who is the Holy One. The impure spirit talks about Jesus as the Son of the Holy God. This impure spirit is that which cannot come before God because it is impure. It's darkened. It's evil. And so this demon is there in the midst of the synagogue, and he cries out, saying three things. He says, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Even though Jesus is the God of all, I think the demon was trying to pinpoint Jesus, saying, you're just a man. You're just a man from Nazareth. But then he goes on to tell Jesus, you know, have you come to destroy us? Not just that one demon, but to destroy all of us, all of the evil, all of the impureness in the world. And then finally, the demon cries out, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. With this, Jesus would have him speak no more. It was not time for the people to understand truly who he was. And so he said the words, "Be quiet." Literally, this word means be still or be muzzled. It's the same word that Jesus used when he calmed the storm when they were in the boat in Galilee. Be still, be quiet, be muzzled. And the demon could speak no more. And Jesus said again with authority, he said sternly, "Come out of him." You get the sense that this man who was possessed with a demon, there was a merging, a combining of spirit, of person, of this impure spirit. And when Jesus says, "Come out of him," with a loud shriek, this evil spirit came out. There was a breaking apart from darkness to light, from being possessed to being free. Again, the people marveled at what Jesus had said. And not only was Jesus teaching with authority, but he was healing, he was performing miracles, he was casting out impure spirits. Even impure spirits obey him. Now that would have been a church service to be at, right? You know, that would have got your attention, and you're just thinking, what's going on? I don't get it, but I want that. On that day, the eyes of the people were opened. They began to get a glimpse of who Jesus was. The impure spirit knew who Jesus was, didn't he? He saw the truth. He could see who Jesus was. Was there anybody else? Anybody else? We don't really know, as Jesus is just beginning his ministry, if they understood who was standing before them. But they knew that Jesus was different. He had authority. Authority to do what God's kingdom wants to do in this world. To heal. To restore and to give life. Jesus was coming so that God might reveal to them, to show them who Jesus truly was. But I think this is the beginning of the time when the Pharisees' hearts were hardened. Because of the people, instead of them wanting to listen to the Pharisees, they were jealous of the authority that Jesus had. I think this is what the season of Epiphany is all about. God being revealed. Those who could not see, who can now see. The man who was possessed by an impure spirit, seeing and knowing that Jesus is the one who can set him free. This season is one where our eyes are opened, not only by the teaching of Jesus, but by the miracles that he performs, that he is present, that he is here today. Jesus said in John chapter 9, that for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those that will see will become blind. My question for us today is, which one of those three are we? Are we those who can see? When we are shown, can we see? Are we those who refuse to see, who do not see? And I think it comes down to how we view. I'm going to show you three pictures. And I think what you see when you see these pictures, it helps answer which of those three people you are. When you look at Jesus, and this may or may not be Jesus, okay? But when you look at this picture, okay, think of Jesus, okay? What do you see? Does your heart, does your mind, does your whole self say, that's my Lord? Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the one who has brought me out of darkness. Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth, through whom all things were made. Jesus loves me so much, he gave up his life for me by dying on the cross. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is our Lord, our eyes are open. But I think also when we look into this world and we look into a mass of people, some people that look like us, some people don't, some people who live close, some people live far away. When we look at the people of this world, who do you see? You see people, and I don't want to be bothered by them. You see people and you say, there's lots of people, I'm just going to live my life. I think for those who can see, we see a people who are needing to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That by our own lives, we may say, how can I share what Jesus has shared with me? This love, this forgiveness, this new hope. When we see people, we say, all right, God, I love you. But I want to love the people you have placed in front of me, that you have blessed me so that I may bless others. People who see, look at people and say, how can I serve? How can I give? How can I share this good news that I have received, that all people might know that Jesus is Lord? I think the third person that we think about is when you look in the mirror, right? Not this guy, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see? Sometimes we look at ourselves and we don't like to look in the mirror, right? But when we look in the mirror, I think it's so important for us as baptized children of God to see who God sees. That God looks at you and me and he sees his beloved child, his beloved son or his beloved daughter. He sees one who has been marked by the seal of a cross. He sees one who has been paid for through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. And so in God's eyes, he sees us as loved, as cherished, as holy, as pure. There might be some days where that's hard to believe, or that there might be some days where you look in the mirror and say, but that's your identity in Christ. With our eyes open, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, let's read this verse together. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are a chosen person. God has called you out of darkness into his light, not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. Do you believe it? Are your eyes open? And now can you live it? To take this love, to take this light, and to live it sharing with all. Together as God's people, may we be brought out of darkness into light to share the love of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the power that you taught when you walked on this earth. Open up our eyes and our ears to hear your word and then to believe. Let this faith not just be something that we keep to ourselves, but may we be your vessels to be poured into the lives of others, that when we look at others, when we look at ourselves, we may see people who have been redeemed by the cross. Help us, O Lord, to love, to share, and to proclaim the good news that Jesus has won for us. We pray this in his name, and all God's people said, amen.